We're talking with an editorial cartoonist about illustrating the year that was. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Of course, the pandemic, but also a year of bitter political polarization and anger. Face masks transformed from a public health tool into a political hot potato, and finding things to laugh at was so much harder. What editorial cartoons resonated with you in 2020? What do you want to ask a cartoonist about their process? It's 800-642-1234. Phil Hands is editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal. He is the only cartoonist on the staff of a newspaper in our state. And we're looking back at some of his work this year. You can find a slideshow of his pieces over on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. Phil, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me back on. I really enjoy being on your show.
Well, phew, here we are, last day. Are ideas still coming to you, or are you, like, running on empty?
Oh, no, I'm never running on empty. No, 2020 is the gift that won't stop giving. I'm actually looking forward to a new year and new political figures to draw. You know, I'm going to spend a lot more time drawing crazy Uncle Joe Biden and less time drawing Donald Trump. So it'll be good for me. And I'm the new year always feels like it invigorates me and I can sort of reset and get back to normal. I end up doing a lot of holiday, themed cartoons at the end of the year. And it is nice to just sort of take a little break, refresh, and get back to it come January 1st.
Well, yeah, you usually sing these funny political lyrics set to Christmas songs. I think you broke out in song last year. Are you still feeling it?
We tried to figure out how to do that again this year, but doing it virtually, over Zoom seemed a little too complicated. So we didn't end up doing that this year. But as soon as we can, we will be singing again Christmas carols with political lyrics to them, because that's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned President-elect Joe Biden and drawing him. Are you ready to draw him a lot?
Yes. Yeah, so I got some practice with him over the last year and a half since he sort of entered. I think I drew him a couple of times back when he was vice president too. So he's the face that, like, we all know Joe Biden. I know Joe Biden. I'm looking forward to a politician who, he says a lot of he's gaffe prone, so he'll say some dumb things over the next 4 years. I'm sure he'll make some mistakes, and I will exploit those mistakes, and I'll have the joy of doing it without, like, the whole threat of our democracy maybe being in danger.
In peril.
With Donald Trump.
Do you get, like, muscle memory when you draw presidents over and over, or do their looks change over time for you?
I'm always sort of readjusting how I draw someone. If I notice something else I want to highlight, even with, 4 years of drawing Donald Trump on a regular basis, I sort of changed things up in the last, the last drawing of him is different than the first drawing was. It just evolves over time. I know with Trump, at one point I decided to make his comb over very structural. So I really looked at how the comb over worked and tried to just actually caricature how his hair moved in an even more ridiculous way than it does in real life. And so I know that with Uncle Joe, it'll evolve over the next 4 years. And the way I draw him now will be different than the way I'm drawing him in 4 years.
You were really into ears. I think you were really into ears with Obama. Wasn't that right?
Oh yeah. Well, Obama had big hubcap ears. He was pretty good looking guy, without a whole lot you could sort of make fun of on his face, except he had these ears that stuck out way too far on either side of his head. So that was sort of fun to make fun of. And Joe Biden's got that, it's hard to draw Joe Biden when he's not smiling. If he looks angry, he doesn't look the same. He's got to have that really big, ridiculous grin to make it really look like Joe Biden, in my opinion.
I'm going to reintroduce you here. We're talking with Phil Hands, editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal, talking about his work this year. What did you make of the political cartoons you saw this year? Are there any ones you cut out or printed or that you keep with you, maybe that you've shared? Join in. Tell us about it. 800-642-1234. Phil, I know you work backwards and you do your last frame first on your comic strips. When you did that last frame on some of your comic strips this year. I kept thinking to myself, did you say to yourself, how am I going to work up to this? How do I lead up to this one? Was that more difficult?
No, that's just sort of a standard technique that I use, because if you know, the last frame of, if you're doing like a four panel cartoon, the last frame is what you're trying to say,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you just have to figure out how you get to say it. And that's just the part of the cartoon that's actually just flat out writing, you know, where you have to just write your way into the solution. And so no, that's not usually difficult, for me. I mean, every once in a while I'll come up with a premise for something and I have to figure out the ending, but usually it starts with what is the message? What is the point? And then how do you get there?
Well, let's look at one of your cartoons. Talk about one of your cartoons. You depict the president as a dumpster fire. So it's provocative. And Joe Biden on a billboard that says, average Joe. Can you talk a little bit about the messaging behind this cartoon?
Yeah, well, I think that cartoon in particular, just sort of, I think I did that right around the time of the conventions. And it just felt like, you know, Joe Biden was a boring, not very exciting, inspirational person. And I think I had somebody in that cartoon saying he's not very exciting. He's rather boring. And I think Uncle Sam says boring sounds great after dealing with 4 years of this dumpster fire that has been the Trump administration. And I drew Trump, as a dumpster fire, which seems pretty evocative for 2020. But yeah, I think that sort of just sums up the entire year for me. It's been, or the entire 4 years for me. There's been so much contention, and everything is an outrage, and everything has been explosive and difficult with this president, that somebody who's a boring old politician just sounds just great to me, even as a political cartoonist.
Even as a political cartoonist. Let's take a call now. Reggie is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Reggie.
Hi,
what would you like to say?
I have a niece who is on the spectrum. She's 8 or 9. I think she's just turned 9. And lately she's really focused, probably last couple of years, she's really focused on like cartoon comic strip type drawing. I was wondering, as it pertains to like materials, as it pertains to like classes or anything you can help with, how can I encourage her to continue drawing in that particular fashion and to help her progress in it?
Oh, Reggie, thank you so much. So a niece with autism who's really gravitating toward comics, maybe perhaps toward graphic novels. Phil, what would you say to nurture that?
I would say definitely get some Calvin and Hobbes comic strips in front of her, because the guy that drew Calvin and Hobbes is probably the greatest comic strip artist of all time. And so he's my inspiration for the work that I do. And I think he's inspired most, a lot of cartoonists nowadays. So that would be the first reference that I would use. And then, you know, I'm always surprised how many, community centers or organizations out there are offering, you know, sort of comics or manga or comic classes. I've taught them in the past, actually, in the Madison area.
Libraries, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would look into that and see if there was something in our area that you could get her signed up for. And then, you know, YouTube can be there. You can find all sorts of interesting ways of and drawing instruction on YouTube. And I've done some instructional videos on YouTube or on Facebook videos. So, there's a whole lot of resources out there to figure out how to improve your drawing skills and to get into comics nowadays. So,
oh, those YouTube videos are all the rage with my kids. They're sketching out baby Yoda as a Christmas. It's just so funny, and they're doing it step by step. It looks so great. We have Phil Hands with us, editorial cartoonist at the Wisconsin State Journal. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we look back at editorial cartoons this year. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In October, Washington Post editorial cartoonist Tom Tolles retired after a half century of cartooning, 18 years at the Post. The last words on his final cartoon read, "Old cartoonists never die. They merely disappear into the eraser crumbs." And his last frame is his empty chair, his desk and a light shining on one pen that rests in the center alone. What editorial cartoon stayed with you this year? Do you keep up on The Onion's editorial cartoon coverage? Do you find them funny or engaging? Do you have an idea for a great political cartoon? Share with us, 800-642-1234. Phil Hands is editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal, and we're looking back at his year in illustrations. I'm wondering, you know, the spread of the pandemic and all of these months, how did you capture the pandemic through your illustrations?
You know, I had to draw a lot of masks this year, which as much as I support wearing masks for people, I'm opposed to it for cartoon characters because there's so much emotion in the mouth and the nose that gets covered up by a mask. It makes it really hard to draw characters.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
So, yeah, I ended up drawing a lot of masks this year, and I ended up drawing the actual virus quite a bit. And you know, you have to try to figure out how to caricature this microscopic virus. Usually it sort of ends up with like a sort of like a bowling ball with spikes on it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I understand that you don't feel really great at drawing these inanimate objects. So was that a challenge for you?
Oh, that is a challenge. Yeah. So my favorite thing to draw are like big expressive faces, preferably not covered up by masks, and you know, very sort of outlandish hand gestures. So anytime I have to draw a thing that isn't alive, I guess a virus is alive, but anything that's sort of inanimate, it always challenges me because I have to try. I always try and add, you know, interest in life to everything I try and draw, and so it's always a bit of a challenge with something like a virus that just sort of supposedly just sort of sits still. But you know, I started using it, you know, how you know, you see these old school cartoons, it'll have, you know, if somebody gets knocked on the head, they'll have stars around their
mm-hmm.
head. I started using the virus to sort of like, I would replace the stars with viruses to show that people were contagious or infected. So that was sort of a fun trick to do, especially when I drew them in crowded bars.
Many of your comics also feature just everyday people. And I'm wondering where you get your ideas for, you know, drawing, you know, people in bars or just, you know, people on the street.
I try and in the days where I used to be out and about a lot more, I would
well, once would, upon a time,
once when upon I... a time, yeah. You know, you try and look and find characters, you know, real people on the street that sort of inspire you to look like people, because, you know, when I draw a generic character, which I do a lot, I'll just sort of draw, you know, what a woman looks like or what a man looks like. They get kind of boring.
I think we're having trouble with your cell phone connection. Are you still there? Well, I'm going to give my chance here to reintroduce Phil Hands, who is editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal. Phil, can you still hear us? We're having a bit of trouble with your cell. Oh, are you still there? Nope, I think we lost you there for a moment with Phil Hands, and he's editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal, as we take a look back at political cartoons and his in particular and all of the things that he was able to draw this year. We do have a slideshow, by the way, of his political cartoons at WPR.org/mornings. Phil, are you still there?
I'm still here, I think, yes.
Okay, good, good, good. It was touch and go there for a moment. You know, as you were talking there about drawing people from the street or on the street and just drawing, like, everyday faces, where you get that inspiration from?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a lot better to be caricaturing real people to make them your everyman than to just sort of draw a generic person, because the generic people just sort of start to get boring after a while. So, I you know, I look at Google images of just random people, but it is best to just get out there on the street and draw people for real life, which is something that I like to do when there's not a pandemic going on.
Do you still draw directly on your computer screen?
I do now. Yeah, that's actually one of the biggest changes for the pandemic for me, is that I always preferred drawing my drawing table is at the office at the Wisconsin State Journal, and all my drawing supplies are at the office at the State Journal. But I do have a laptop that I can draw on, a Surface Pro. And since the pandemic started, I've drawn just about every single cartoon on that computer, which has been different for me. It's a different process. It's not quite as creative. You can always go back and hit the Control Z button to fix your latest mistake, which makes you a little obsessive as opposed to just dealing with the lines that exist on the paper.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not as, maybe doesn't feel as good as actually just taking your eraser out and being able to just rub something away.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that's what's really bad is you get into these bad habits, you know, how you, on any sort of iPad or touch screen, you can you sort of push your fingers to get, or apart and zoom in on the screen. And the couple of times I have ended up drawing on paper, I find myself trying to zoom in on the paper with my fingers, which doesn't work in real life.
Yeah. I think we do that with our touch screens and in our mouse. Like, why doesn't this computer work? I'm touching the touch screen here. You know, let's look more at your cartoons and the year that was with the Black Lives Matter protests. And one of your comics features President Trump inside of a tank in front of a person wearing a shirt that says Black Lives Matter. What is the symbolism behind this cartoon?
Well, I was trying to evoke the Tiananmen Square, protests from the 1980s in China. And so I've got, you know, this single solitary Black Lives Matter protester facing down Donald Trump in his tank. And it was about sort of just criticizing the militarized response to the protest movement for freedom in America. So I thought that was sort of a simple, stark image. And, you know, Trump helped a lot by, you know, basically sending in, you know, federalized, militarized troops everywhere. There were massive protests.
How do you interpret the conflict and the conversation surrounding race through your work, through your illustrations?
Well, it is always hard because I come from everything with race as a middle-aged white man, which puts me at a serious disadvantage when it comes to talking about issues of racial justice. I definitely have tried to draw, you know, I think especially in Wisconsin, which is such a state that does not have as much diversity as most states, I have tried to draw more and more African-American and, people of color in my cartoons just to sort of show people that, these are real people that have real lives and real issues. And sometimes there comes into issues of whether a middle-aged white person can have, you know, can I create a African-American cartoon character and then put my words into their mouths? I've had some criticism of doing that over the years. But, I feel like it's important to just have representation in my editorial cartoons. And I've been trying more and more over the years to increase the diversity of my cartoon characters. Because, when I sit down and just sketch out a random default person, it usually looks like me, a pretty boring white middle-aged guy.
When you say that the year has given you a lot of cartoon ideas, where do you see it headed next year? I mean, where will your ideas seize upon?
I think it's going to be a lot more boring next year. At least that's my hope. And that's where I really, I feel like sometimes that's where cartoonists can really thrive, where we just sort of poke fun and point out how ridiculous our politics can be. And it's better to do that when the politics aren't actually literally seriously horribly ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I think it's more fun to do that when you're talking about, I don't know, as boring as it is, talking about, inappropriate budget proposals in the state budget is sometimes better than talking about the threat that the president poses to the democratic norms of our institutions. I feel like, that's maybe a bigger job than what editorial cartoons can do. We can do a good job at that. We point that stuff out. But, boy, I'm looking forward to just, a standard year of politics and politicians, messing up in their own unique, special ways and then pointing out their flaws.
When you look out there among your colleague cartoonists, and there aren't many of you out there, are there particular cartoonists that you look at their work for you to maybe get a laugh, maybe get some inspiration or ideas?
There's one guy I've been reading a lot of. Well, there's a couple of really strong editorial cartoonists. Steve Sack in Minneapolis is a very strong cartoonist. There's a guy from Augusta, Georgia named Rick McKee, who's always been a conservative cartoonist, but in the last 4 years has realized that has decided that Trump is an abomination, and his cartoons are always great to see. You know, a conservative person who also thinks that, you know, what's going on right now is not normal. So that's a cartoonist I always look for in terms of his work. And yeah, I was a big fan of Tom Tolles before he retired from the Washington Post. He was simple and elegant and eloquent at the same time. So those are some really good editorial cartoonists out there.
Phil, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Phil Hands is the editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal. You can find a slideshow of his work at WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, we check in on vaccine rollout with Door County Medical Center in Sturgeon Bay and the additional challenges the hospital faces as a rural healthcare provider. What do you want to know about vaccine distribution in the Door County Peninsula? 800-642-1234. Back after a news update on the Ideas Network.